Log Talk Radio.
So much media, so little time. Who keeps track of it all? That would be me. This is Bob Andelman, and this is a Mr. Media interview, recorded live on blogtalkradio.com from the new media and American League Baseball capital of the world, St. Petersburg, Florida.
Fitzgerald wrote The Great Gatsby when he was 29. 29. Fucking Fitzgerald. And to add insult to injury, my old riding coach, the same son of a bitch who kicked me out of class because he said I wasn't living up to my potential as a writer, who called me his biggest disappointment, he calls me the other day. You know why? To walk his dog. I never wanted a real job. I laughed at people who work 9 to 5. I'm a writer. Writers don't work regular jobs, they write. And they walk dogs. Thanks for listening to me, guys.
I make my living as a writer. Books, magazine articles, and of course, introductions to Mr. Media radio interviews. But I can't say I have any experience with writer's block. Why not? A wife, a daughter, 2 dogs, and every morning I wake up and find them hungry. Gotta work, gotta write, gotta earn money to keep everybody fed, right? So I write. Now, Steve is not like me. He's a would-be writer and former law student who's been taken on as a student by Carl, an award-winning crime novelist. Unfortunately, Steve is blocked, and Carl, in cahoots with his wife, Trish, comes up with a devious scheme to shake Steve out of his funk. Now, that's the story behind a new short film, Captain, making its way through the world of indie film festivals this fall. Captain was written by my guest, Nicole Sabrina Stewart, who also stars as Trish, and Jack Sundmacher, I may get corrected on that, who plays Steve in the short. Now, you might recognize the vivacious Nicole from her most recent appearance on screen as Kate Hudson's beleaguered secretary in the feature film Bride Wars, which I just, by coincidence, watched on DVD with my daughter a few weeks ago. She's also been in the Arthur Miller film After the Fall, and episodes of Criminal Minds, VIP with Pamela Anderson, and The George Lopez Show. Nicole, welcome to Mr. Media.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
glad to have you, and congratulations on the film. It's a lot of fun.
Thanks. We are having a blast with it.
Now, is this your first produced script?
It is. It's the first script that I wrote with Jack, and it's the first thing we've ever produced and shot and did ourselves.
Now, as I understand it, this was based on a short story that he wrote. How did you guys come to get together on this and go forward?
Well, we've been actors for years, and we ended up in the same writing class because we were friends. And then, you take home the other person's work in writing class. And I took his short story home, and we'd been talking about doing a short film forever. But we never knew, we wanted to make it funny and we wanted to make it right, but we never really pursued it. And then I read his short story and I sent him a text message and I said, this is our short. And then we started to develop it from that point forward.
How much does the film differ from the short story?
It's funny because I hardly remember the short story because we changed it a lot. But the basic premise was there, but it was about a cat, and it was about Jack going to his old writing teacher's house to watch their cat, and the cat was on a lot of medication, and they basically said, if you give him the wrong medication, he'll die. And Jack was like, oh my God, I think I need to not be doing this at this stage of my life. And it was before Jack was a dog walker, because Jack is actually a dog walker in real life. So we incorporated in the short film a lot of what we, in the present time of what we were both doing in our lives and made it into a dog.
And as they say, this film speaks to a lot of truth, obviously.
Yeah, exactly. People are so obsessed with their pets. It's kind of funny.
And did either of you have that much maybe Jack did. Did you have much experience with writer's block?
Well, you know, I think Jack and I are both really, I think we're both creative, but I think, you know, because like I said, for years we like talked about writing a short and we never did anything about it. So finally when push came to shove and I found something, I think we both sort of struggle and waver in the, like, what should we do with our creativity thing. But I think the thing that's both good for us, because we're both more active people, like I know, you know, this is why we've acted or, you know, waited for auditions for 10 years, because that's the avenue we wanted to go to. But this avenue seems much better and more creative and definitely more control that we have over our own careers and destinies. And yes, we do. We both, you know, we're writing the feature now of Captain. And we get stuck. Like, if we don't get a meet for a week and we come down and we sit to write, it's, like, really hard warming up for us to get into it. But if we are continually writing, you know, we don't take a break for whatever reason, one person doesn't go out of town or whatever, we get a groove going. But we do. We get stuck. And then one person pushes the other person and vice versa. So it's nice to have a team.
And did I hear you say you're writing Captain now as a feature?
Yeah, we are.
Wow. Well, that may answer the question I had, which is what motivates someone to write and produce a 13-minute movie? I think I know that.
Well, originally we thought, you know what, everyone says to do our own stuff, so let's do our own stuff, and we're lucky if we, you know, let's just try to get some really good tape on us. And then if we succeed at that and it's halfway decent, let's, you know, enter it into festivals to get exposure as an actor, which was our main thing that we wanted to do. And then that all happened. And we've really exceeded what we even thought was going to happen, so we're both just thrilled with having this fun, really quirky comedy that really captures, I think, our sense of humor, which isn't for everybody. We think it is. I mean, you know, we sort of have that dark, sort of sick, twisted humor. But originally that's what we set out to do, is just to get some tape on ourselves and maybe get a little festival exposure as actors. And, you know, we've exceeded what we've even thought would happen. So we're thrilled.
How did you guys finance the film?
We put our own money in, our own savings that we had, and we had another person with us, the producer, Caitlin Campbell, and then, you know, we called in a ton of favors. People I've known throughout the years that I've worked with on various projects or in other walks of my life, and we just, like, the DP we got, I called a girl, Emily Topper, who's, I just think, so talented. She shot me in a UCLA grad film. And I love the way she shot it. And I, you know, I contacted her and I said, look, we wrote this short. And everybody read the short was like, yeah, I'll totally do it. You know, it took 3 days to shoot. And people really did it for basically next to nothing. I mean, the budget was like minimal, and I got somebody to donate cameras for free, and it sort of went like that down all the way down the line.
Did you guys still have to spring for donuts and Cokes?
Actually, no. Starbucks donated. The Starbucks I go to every day donated pastries and coffee for us every morning. Yeah, so everyone was amazing and generous and just lovely. Our director didn't even charge us, because he loved the script so much. The other actor, Bjorn Johnson, who's phenomenal, who's working all the time, did it for nothing. Everybody did it for basically nothing. Or if they did get paid, it was like $50, you know?
You obviously have a talent for producing. You produced this film out of thin air.
Yeah, basically.
Well, I want to. I've got a little audio clip. I opened the show with a clip of your writing partner Jack Sunmacher as Steve, and this is a little clip of Nicole as Trish. So listen to this.
Hello. Hello.
Oh, hi. You must be Steve.
Yes.
Take a seat. Carl's in the shower. I don't know if Carl told you anything about our little baby Captain, but I'll give you the rundown. Captain has 3 dry foods and 2 wet foods. Captain's also on some meds. Hey, baby.
Hey, Carl.
He's also on puppy Prozac. And the Prozac needs to be taken with the wet food 3 times a day. And he has eardrops that need to be inserted 5 times a day. The food needs to be spaced out every hour and a half. The big thing you don't want to do is mix up the wrong medication. Because he could have an allergic reaction and die.
What?
Just write it down.
Now, the director of Captain, Max Cady, said that scene was the toughest in the film, maybe more for him than for you. It's the one, of course, that introduces your character, Trish. And let me just tell listeners that it involves you, tight workout clothes, and a stripper pole. But I don't get it. What was so tough about that? What was so tough about that?
Oh, well, I don't know if it was tougher for him. It was really tough for me because I had to keep going upside down on the pole, take after take after take, and hanging there for forever. And I was that was the first scene we shot on the first day that wasn't even, we had never rehearsed it because Max came in 2 days before we started to shoot it. And we never got a chance to rehearse or discuss the scene, so it was very much last minute and sort of let's hope this works kind of. And I had an idea of how I wanted it, and he had a very strong idea how he wanted it, and then we just kept working together back and forth, but I had to keep doing the pole work. So I think that was just, it was brutal. My body was pretty banged up, and I kept making jokes of like, you know, who wrote the pole scene? I mean, really, like, whose bright idea was this? And,
yeah,
of course, it was mine. It was fine. I was like, I will never do that again. Never write another pole scene unless I have a body double. It was so rough on taxing on my body. But we got through it, and I think it's really funny.
Well, you came across as pretty limber. I think, you know, the camera does you justice there.
Well, thanks.
You're welcome. Now, Jack, you said his daytime job is he literally is a dog walker?
He literally is a dog walker.
Now, do you have a day job that's different than the one we're discussing as well?
I do. I'm a Pilates trainer.
Ah.
I train people Pilates, and I have for the last 10 years, and I do it 6 days a week. And I have my own business. I work for myself. And have a lot of different clients from all walks of life, from you know, the celebrity clients down to psychiatrists, doctors, all kinds of people. And I really love it.
That explains how you were in the kind of shape that you were to do that scene, I guess.
Yeah, it helped. It helped to have a job like that. It kind of makes you stay in shape. You have no choice.
Do you do a lot of pole work, though? I mean, is that just for the movie, or I don't know much about Pilates, but I'm guessing there is not normally a pole involved.
No, there's not. That's a whole separate thing. And no, I actually, before we shot this and before we even wrote it, I was at a place in my life where I was doing a lot of pole dancing workout. It's just a different type of workout, and I always believe you should do different things, you know, for your body. So I was doing pole dancing quite often, and my neighbor who lives upstairs worked at a pole studio, and, you know, I was taking privates with her, which I'd take some of my clients, my Pilates clients, to go do pole class just for something fun. So at that point of time when we wrote it, I was doing it all the time, nonstop. I was getting really good at it. And then since we shot this short, I haven't really done it at all. I just haven't had the time. I've been so busy. But right before we shot it, I was doing like tons of privates to get really good at it. But the irony is that Max didn't want me to be that good at it. So I had to pull it back a little bit because he wanted me to be like a little like goofy on it, which I think is even funnier.
Got it. So is the Pilates training, is that how you wound up on the episode of Dr. 90210 playing yourself?
Yes, that was one of my clients. A plastic surgeon who I train and have trained Dr. Raj Kanodia for like 10 years.
Oh. Now, I didn't see that episode. How do you fit into the show?
He comes in for his Pilates class. You know, they sort of do a day in the life of. And
right.
So they followed him into the gym. And I, you know, said hi, I think, who I was, what I did, and then I did my stretching with him and all sorts of Pilates stuff.
Interesting. You've got an interesting life and career going on there. I can say that from a distance pretty safely, I think.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah. Now, I want to change gears a little bit and talk about some of your other film work, film and TV work. so I mentioned in the introduction that I saw Bride Wars with my daughter.
Yeah.
You've got a featured role in that, Kate Hudson and Anne Hathaway. Memory serves me correctly. Not really a guy film, but there were some really funny moments and some equally cringeworthy ones too. Can you tell us anything about working on that movie, you know, from an insider's perspective?
Yeah, it was, gosh, I felt so lucky to be able to work on a movie like that with those two actresses. And it was sort of, again, it was sort of the last minute sort of got thrown into the mix of things, and it was Gary Winnick was the director, and Julie Yorn was one of the producers, but my part wasn't, it was a part, but it wasn't even written in, and of course, when we did it, I shot 4 days, and it was all improv, which scared me at first, of course, but then I had a lot of fun with it. Being her receptionist. And then, of course, like in the actual cut of the film, I think like maybe two or three words of the part got into the, or two or three words of the part, yeah, got into the final cut, which I felt even lucky that that happened. But it was a great set. It was fun, and I loved doing the improv scene because there were no lines for my character at all. And we just sort of, like, you know, rolled with it back and forth, Kate and I, and gosh, it was fun. It was a lot of fun, and I'd love to do it again. The director was great. Everyone was nice. It was a lot of fun, and I love the movie. I mean, it was cute. It was sweet. It's something, you know, you could take your kids to and have a good time, and, you know, it's good, and it's so sort of true to relationships, I think.
It was interesting. It was not quite what I expected. There was some just hysterically funny moments in the movie, and then there was some brutal moments among the two women. Oh boy, it made me cringe watching some of it. But it was much much more entertaining than I expected it to be.
Yeah, I mean, and I think the movie also, I think the guys that I've talked to that have seen it liked it, you know, and that it was funny. So.
Yeah, it's a little undersold to guys, I think, but yeah, it worked. Now I have to ask you. I mentioned my daughter, and you also did an episode of her current favorite sitcom, The George Lopez Show. And conveniently, your character, I don't know if it's ever uttered in the episode, but the character's name is Rachel, which is my daughter's name. So please, please, please tell me something about George and the cast and the show that will make me look good with the kid.
Well, again, it was one of those auditions where I went in and we had to wait in the hallway, which never happens, to find out who got the part. And I was like, you know, because 95% of the time you never get the part. So I was like, all right, I got to go. I got to get back to my Pilates client, you know. And they were like, because it shot right after the audition. And I got called in really last minute for it and ran down to Warner Brothers, did it. And I was like, okay, I have a 3 o'clock. I got to go. And they're like, no, you have to wait because it shoots right after we're going to pick. And I was like, oh, all right, you know. And then they came out and they were like, thank you, you know. And obviously I got the part, went straight down to set, canceled my 3 o'clock, and just sort of dove right in. And John Pasquin was the director, who's this amazing director who's done all this theater and Broadway. And it just felt right. It just felt really right, and the part was really fun, and George Lopez couldn't have been nicer. And the guy I did my scene with, whose name I'm blanking on right now, I feel really bad, but he was fun, and we had a fun time with it. And we just shot it. It was a 3-camera sitcom, and just did it, wrapped it. It was done, and I left, you know. And George was really great, and he was like, you know, hopefully we're going to see you back on the show. And I thought they were going to call me back because I actually had a name, Rachel.
Right.
You know, so I was like, oh, this could turn into, you know, reoccurring or something like that, because he was like, we're going to see you again. You were great. And it's just nice to go into a set like that when you're just a day player and feel so welcomed, and to have the freedom, I guess, to feel comfortable to do your choices as an actor and, you know, feel comforted, I guess, and safe in an environment like that, you know, where there's the studio heads watching the show and the cameras all around you. And it sometimes can be trying and straining to feel comfortable in a situation like that. But I think a lot of it has to do with the people you're surrounded by. So they really, really were wonderful in that situation. And it was fun. It was a fun part. It's somebody that I never really, not am at all. Like, I would never walk into a bar and be that girl. So that's why I had so much fun with it.
Did you play opposite George or someone else in the cast?
His best friend. And I'm blanking on his name, which I should be not. It's really bad. I apologize for that.
I know who you mean, but I think part of the role of that guy is to be kind of nondescript in the cast.
He's great, though. He's so sweet. Yeah. We tried different things, and he was fun. He was a lot of fun.
Now, I have to ask a question about another one of your roles for my own prurient interests. You did, I guess, 2 episodes of VIP with star Pamela Anderson. Can you tell us anything about Pam up close and personal?
You know, the first part I did with her, I was like a nurse in her law office, and she was just very like, okay, are we ready? Let's shoot it. We shot it, and it was done. She was sweet and beautiful, of course, up in person. I saw her, and I thought, oh, my God, she's stunning. and the second part, I was a scientist, I believe, in a rocket spaceship place. I don't know. And I didn't work with her, the second one. I worked with another scientist. So my contact with her is very limited, but she's stunning. I mean, stunning, and she was really professional.
Oh. I remember seeing a couple episodes of that and thinking, it looks like it was shot pretty quickly. But from what you're saying, the good thing here is that a young lady could have jumped in that show from being a nurse to a rocket scientist. Only on that show, I think.
Exactly. Well, there was a couple years in between.
Oh,
so
one
of the producers was like,
You had time to train and study for that.
Exactly. I had time to really get my education to move from jump from the nurse to the rocket scientist. Exactly.
You know, I'm just laughing because I'm thinking, you know, sometimes when you read a little about someone's background and then you actually open the door to the question, you don't know that something like that is going to offer itself, going from a nurse to a rocket scientist. That just doesn't happen, you know.
I know. It's so funny. I didn't know it was going to go that way either. And some of the things you're asking me, it's so funny because I'm like, wait, who? And it's just funny remembering back on all these different roles, you know, what brings you to that place to actually shoot that role. It's quite interesting.
Well, so what you're working on a feature with Jack based on Captain. Anything else in your acting career going on at the moment?
We're in pre-production for a play we're planning on doing, a theatrical play, this fall, called Four Dogs and a Bone by John Patrick Shanley.
Oh, wow. Sure.
And we have potentially a really great actress lined up to direct. I don't think I'm at liberty to say yet who, because it's not completely 100% confirmed. But I'm really excited to do this play. I think it'll be great. It's a very funny comedy. It's a one act. And it's about Hollywood and how sort of cutthroat it can be.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I have lined up right now on the acting front. And on the training front, I'm off to New York to go train somebody for a week tonight.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, it does not sound like a dull life. I'm happy for you in that regard.
Thanks. It certainly isn't. It's a little hard to keep it all going sometimes, but it's fun. I wouldn't have it any other way.
Well, folks, you can learn more about the short film Captain and check out the trailer by going to the website, www.captainTheShortFilm.com. That's all solid, CaptainTheShortFilm.com. And you can probably find I'm guessing I should have looked a schedule of festival appearances for the film and other things that are going on, I guess.
Yeah, it just played last night at the Indie Fest down in Anaheim at Disneyland in the shorts competition, and hopefully there'll be more festivals to come.
How was that to see it with a? I'm assuming you saw it with an audience. How was that?
It was great. Dances with Films. It played with that audience, and the audience responds so well to it. So last night, and I always get so nervous, but everybody just loved it and came up to us afterwards, and they were like, "That was the funniest short film ever," and people really just thought the comedy was great and the timing and everything. So that makes me feel really good because we really did calculate everything in that film. So it's reassuring, you know, and lets you know you're on the right track, and it makes it all worth it.
That's great.
Yeah, well, I love to see the audience response.
It is a lot of fun, and I encourage people if they see that that Captain is going to be at a film festival near them, I assume it will be making the rounds for a while. Check it out. And Nicole, thanks so much for being with us on Mr. Media today. You were delightful, and I enjoyed having you.
Oh, well, thank you, and I feel the same way. It was a lot of fun.
All right. Well, best of luck on the feature length, and hopefully we'll get to talk to you again soon.
Sounds good. Have a good day.
All right. You too.
Bye.
Bye-bye. And, folks, for more interviews with your favorite independent film directors, writers, and stars, you can surf over to our main website, www.mrmedia.com. That's where you can listen to my earlier conversations with the men and women behind Obsessed, Captain Abu Raad, Dog Days of Summer, The Singing Revolution, Steam, Little Chicago, Election Day, In the Shadow of the Moon, and many more. And please think about writing an online review of Mr. Media, casting a vote for Mr. Media, or marking Mr. Media as one of your favorites, whether you listen on Blog Talk Radio, True Slant, Digital Journal, Vox, Podcast Pickle, Mediafly, Blueberry, Zencast, Zimbio, or Odeo. And subscribe to Mr. Media on iTunes, and you'll never miss a show. Just search Mr. Media Interviews from within iTunes and subscribe for free. Or subscribe to Mr. Media's blog on the Amazon Kindle Reader. You can also listen with a piece of string and a tin can in many locations. If you've got an idea for a guest, email me directly at bob@andelman.com. That's A-N-D-E-L-M-A-N. You can also follow me on Facebook or on Twitter, www.twitter.com/andelman. Thanks so much for joining us today. Always appreciate when you give up a little piece of your day and spend it with us. Thanks for listening, everybody.